Former NHLer writes at OilersNation.com. Joins us, Suds. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Very well. You're a guy that you know quite well. Patrick Marleau, the San Jose Sharks, they signed Thornton and Marleau, 3-year contracts extensions. None of this 5 or 6 year deals. They don't get tied up long term. They give them their money. What do you think of these signings?
Well, I think they're great for them. I mean, obviously, San Jose is a team that they get harped on a little bit that they can't get it done in the playoffs. But every year since they've gotten Thornton, they're a team that's always near the top of the league, and they're right there again this year with just their size and their speed, those guys. And I think you've seen Thornton over the years sort of up his play in the playoffs, and Marleau as well. So clearly those guys are still going well, even though they're getting older, and I think it's a pretty good signing. And the Sharks, you know, they don't extend them too far as well, so they're not in too much trouble with money.
When you look at that San Jose team, there were so many people that kind of wanted to hand it over. And I think that was really something made up by certain members of the media that you needed it to be Logan Couture's team. So what do you feel about that statement? Is that really, you know, something that's never looked upon in a locker room? Or do people in the dressing room say, okay, we know Logan Couture's up and comer. Is it still Joe's team? Is it Patrick's team? Do those type of symmetries go on, synergies inside a locker room?
A little bit, but I think with San Jose, I mean, it's still got to be Joe's team and Marleau's team. I mean, they're still at an incredibly high level. Logan Couture is up and coming, and he's always going to be there. I don't really think that guys are too concerned inside the locker room, whether it's my team or that guy's team. I mean, everyone knows within the room who has a voice, who's you know, the guy that's going to carry this team. And I think right now, from at least an outsider perspective, that it's still those two guys. I mean, I remember when I was in Dallas and Brendan Morrow was there, and right before I got there, Medano was sort of getting up there in age, and his play was dropping a little bit. And I know that they eventually took the C away from Medano and moved it to Morrow. And you know, I don't really know what went on there before I got there, but, you know, it was still, to me, it seemed like the same team. Medano had a voice. Brendan Morrow was obviously our leader, played a more physical style, and maybe that was why they wanted to, Tippett wanted to sort of push that abrasiveness or that edge and that type of work ethic and make guys lead by that way. But for me, Logan Couture will always be there, and I think it's still Joe's team.
That San Jose team, you know, Thornton, Pavelski, Marleau, they've got obviously a lot of talent. Brent Burns is up front. And that attitude of, well, they can't get it done in the playoffs. They're always in the playoffs. They're always in the mix. I've always felt it was somewhat overblown a little bit. Do you think it motivates the players?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you've seen in the last couple of years, Joe Thornton definitely up his play in the playoffs. You know, for whatever reason, early on, he wasn't able to get it done, and his play or stats reflected it. But you saw him a couple years ago challenge Getzlaff off the faceoff, you know, really sort of put the team on his back. And it certainly hasn't been for Joe Thornton not showing up in the playoffs that they haven't been able to get it done. And, I mean, at the end of the day, anyone would take – being in the playoffs every year and having to fight and claw your way to get to the second round, third round, and trying to get over that hurdle than trying to get over the hurdle of not making the playoffs for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So, you know, it's tough. Winning the Stanley Cup, they say, is the hardest thing in the world, and I never got close. That's a regret for me, and I wish I got to the playoffs as much as the San Jose Sharks.
Brian Sutherby joins us. So that's a few other things. And Struds and I were talking about this earlier, and maybe it's just a coincidence because it's Phoenix. But you know, everybody knows what didn't happen or happened the last game, and now all of a sudden Luke Gazdik's out of the lineup. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Yeah. So what do you think of the timing?
Well, I hope it's just a coincidence because I don't really like it. You know, I obviously don't know a ton about what went on during the game that night, but you know, I did a piece on Oilers Nation yesterday about, you know, just feeling a little bit for Luke Gazdik in that situation. And I know I was one of the guys that came out and said I really hope that somebody, maybe not necessarily Gazdik, but I really hope that you know, Cassian had to sort of pay the piper, whether he liked it or not. And it didn't happen. And when I watched the game, I was following Twitter, obviously, and people are getting on Gazdic after the first period. Like, why hasn't he found Cassian yet? And he hadn't even had a shift against them. Like, so it was something for me that I felt like Aikens didn't really want to match up that way for whatever reason. And then when they finally did get out there, I don't know what was said to him. I don't know if anything was said to him, but it just seemed like he didn't necessarily have all systems go. And, you know, it's tough in that instance. Time had gone by to just sort of drop your gloves and start pounding on a guy. It's a lot easier to react in the heat of the moment of a game and try to get payback than, say, a couple months later. And I just kind of think that maybe there was some stuff going on there. With the Hartley fine, obviously, was just the day before, and he got fined $25,000. And I know I've been in situations like that where, coach, you know, I would like to get after it, and fans would like to see stuff happen, and the player doesn't necessarily have full say or the green light. So I'm a little perplexed by him being scratched, because that was sort of the sense that I got, and especially after the game as well. Aikens was pretty hot to answer any questions about what he should have had to do. So hopefully that's not it. But I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, it's very interesting to me. It just,
yeah.
You know, at times it looks like there's different messages as far as the consistency factor goes with me. And I think it's somewhat of a concern. One consistent thing for me, Suds, and, you know, and people want to overblow the Zach Cassin thing. To me, it was just another example of time and time again, an unwillingness from an organization to step outside their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, for me and being in those situations, I do think, I understand a little bit of where they're coming from, and just with that situation, I mean, time had gone by, and I don't think that means they should just let it go. But you know, as far as expecting a guy like Gazdic to go out there and just jump him, that's tough. I mean, I've been in that situation, and it's hard to, you're not eyes bulging out of your head, raging mad. You're almost trying to build it up inside you to. And you really just hope the guy would oblige you so you could, you know, get your licks in on him. I would have to imagine that he was talked to before the game and said, hey, like, if you can get him to go, then that's fine. I would have loved to have seen him drop his gloves and you know, embarrass him a little bit, if you will, and make him almost have to go a step farther, you know, to really man up and fight. And if not, well, he's essentially turtling and maybe you don't throw a punch. I think there has to be more about what happens every game. I mean, everyone looked to this game as this big culmination of, we have to stand up for ourselves. Like, they should stand up every game for themselves. If things they're losing right now, I mean, if something happens in a game, respond immediately.
Thank you.
You know, whatever you need to do, run someone through the end of the rink, go hammer their goalie, you know, take it out on a skill player. That's what has to happen every game. So that's where I think it's tough to heap everything onto this one game and it didn't happen. I mean, this has to be every game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it changes from year to year, different guys, and it's never been that. So where does that start, Brian? Like, it's got to start somewhere. How do you start getting that inside an organization?
I think it's the players. I mean, obviously it has to come from the coach. The coach has to sort of institute or allow that stuff to happen. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's got to come within the guys and the character in that locker room. And I think that falls on the scouting. I think that falls on the GM and bringing in some character guys that want to do that stuff. I mean, you know, situations I've been in, I remember one night in Atlanta, they ran Ole Kolzig like 3 or 4 times. And finally I was just like, you know what? No one's doing anything here. There's nothing. I think there was a melee in front of our net. Eventually, Ole punched a guy. And, you know, our goalie shouldn't have to do that before there was a response. And finally, I just went and ran Mike Dunham. Like, I just said enough. And there was a couple minutes left in the game. But I knew I could go and do that. I knew that, you know, my coaches and my players expected that from me and our locker room. And so, you know, to me, just inside that dressing room right now, the character that they have, I just don't think there's enough guys that are that willing to do that stuff, and it needs to become more of the culture.
Exactly, right? I know it's funny because everybody else, well, look at Chicago. They don't hit. Yeah, look at Chicago. Jonathan Toews fights Joe Thornton, and his quote after the game was, you eventually have to stand up for yourself. No one else is going to. You can't look and say, well, the owners need someone to protect the kids. The kids need to learn to protect themselves, stand up for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is mad or upset at what didn't happen against Vancouver on Tuesday, and a lot of it falls on Gazdic. And I think that's a game, I mean, if we're talking about making a statement, let's talk about the whole team. Let's talk about playing the Vancouver Canucks, a team that does have some tough players, some gritty guys coming into your building after mouthing off and pointing at your jaw and taunting and whatnot. I don't think it should just have to fall on him. I think it should be everyone in that locker room, you know, playing harder, running guys, just creating more, being tougher to play against and playing with more of an edge that you're going to stick up for yourself. And I know that a lot of people are focused on that last game, and I really wish something had happened, but it's got to become more of the norm in that dressing room. And I really think when I hear at times, although, again, you talked about a mixed message, and Akins didn't really want to seem like he wanted to engage in that sort of stuff against Vancouver, but I hear him talking about having the right DNA. Players have to have that edge. It's inside them. And I think they're trying to get there with a guy like Gazdic, bringing in Matt Hendricks. I mean, he's a guy that knows his role. You're not going to have to tell him to go out most nights and do stuff. You know, I think a lot of what happened on Tuesday was just that it was a premeditated sort of thing that they let go stale a little bit for a few months. And, you know, it is a bit of a slippery slope when you're doing stuff that can be seen as premeditated and not reactionary. I mean, you look at the Sean Thornton incident, that was reactionary. That was in the heat of the moment in the game. And unfortunately he injures the guy. And my argument the whole time was the result was unfortunate, but the act of what he did, punching the guy with his gloves on, wasn't that bad. I mean, it's not like he ran the guy from behind. It's not like he took an elbow and drove it into his chin on purpose or slashed him in the head. I mean, he kept his gloves on and punched him. And if he didn't get hurt, he probably gets 2 minutes for roughing, quite honestly. And so, you know, in a situation with Gazdic, if he does grab him and he does punch him a few times and perhaps something bad did happen, you know, they will be crucified for that. And it is a little bit different than jumping a guy in the heat of the moment. I know Cespedo did it to Nolan a few games back. That's in the game. I think the NHL would look at that a little bit differently.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they can somehow incorporate that into their organization moving forward. Suds, as always, appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
I hope so, buddy. Talk to you soon.